Hey guys, welcome back to the Greek Current. I'm Thanos, and I'm joined this week at HALC headquarters by Andy Zemanidis.
I'm back.
And Vanessa Camberis, our Leadership 2030 fellow.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the office, Vanessa, as well. She used to be our all-star research associate here before leaving for law school.
Thanks for having me back.
She's a Hall of Famer, not an all-star.
But it's been a busy week this week. We've been watching a lot of races.
What happened this week?
We had to have those midterms going around.
Midterm exams?
Midterm exams for the country. Trump's midterm exams. But it's been a busy week, and we've been watching the midterms closely. We've been invested in a number of races. We've been following them. And Andy, give us the major takeaways from these elections. We see the House has changed. It's Democratic-controlled House now. The Senate stayed the same. What's the big picture when it comes to generally foreign policy? And then we can do let's look closely at our Greek issues and how it plays out.
So there are still major announcements or decisions to be made, like who gets which committees, who are chairs of the committees. Let's start with the loss front. We lost some significant friends, especially on the Republican side. Some we knew we were going to lose for quite a while now because they were retiring. They didn't lose the election. But the biggest losses were Congresswoman Ileana Ross Lehtinen from Florida, who was the only female ever to serve as a chairperson of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She was right now the chair of the Middle East and North Africa Committee. She was the chairman emeritus of the whole House Foreign Affairs Committee. A very good friend of our communities of Greece and Cyprus. And then the present chairman, for at least another couple months, Ed Royce from California, who also, actually, I think he was the first Republican member of Congress who decided not to run again this election, but he also has been very solid. And this is particularly important because on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, we've had a very strong bipartisan tradition on our issues. And the chairman and ranking members, whether Republicans controlled or Democrats controlled, worked very well together on our issues. On the gain side, if we stay with the same committee, Eli Rengel is probably going to take over the chairmanship. And he knows our issues well. He's been very good. You know, probably a lot of our listeners don't know this, but the first major piece of legislation that Elliot Engel wrote more than two decades ago was about the missing in Cyprus. And that actually led to, you know, five Greek Americans went missing from the Turkish invasion among the couple thousand. But Elliot Engel's legislation put the screws on Turkey. Sadly, we were able to locate the remains of one young man from Detroit, but at least that gave his family closure, and it really elevated the humanitarian issue of the missing. Ted Deutsch, who is a co-founder of the Chia Caucus, a Congressional Hellenic Israel Alliance Caucus, is probably going to take the gavel at the Middle East and North Africa Committee. David Cicilline, a great champion, the author of the End of Cyprus Arms Embargo Act, someone with the Greek chief of staff, Greek-American chief of staff, Peter Karaforis, is going to be making a play for House leadership. So those are kind of the gains in the House. From we could stay with the House and get to the Senate later.
Yeah, of course. There are also a number of races in the House that we're watching where so Greek-Americans were either reelected or are joining Congress for the first time. John Sarbanes in Maryland, Dina Titus in Nevada, Chris Pappas is the newest addition to the group, and Gus Bilirakis, obviously, from Florida. But Vanessa, you used to intern for Gus on the Hill, aside from the work that you did here at HALC, and for a while we thought that he was going to have a serious challenge to his race. But as we've seen, he was reelected. How important is that reelection for our community?
It is very important, just to answer that first and foremost. Fortunately, like the other Greek Americans, Congressman Bilirakis was reelected to a seat. And this is especially important because he is the chairman of the Hellenic Caucus and is one of the founding members of the Congressional Hellenic Israel Alliance, as Andy mentioned earlier. Talking about the friendships that we have in Congress, a lot of those have come from the respect of Congressman Bilirakis and how he's able to really advocate for our issues and work with members across the aisle to make sure that our issues receive the attention that they deserve. Beyond his personal commitment, he has a great staff which support him behind all of this. His staff is led by Elizabeth Hiddos. She really is always welcoming every time we come to Capitol Hill to advocate for anything, and will take time to sit down, especially with the younger members of HALC, part of the Leadership 2030 team, to explain what's going on in their office and how they work for the Greek issues. Not only is the congressman a champion for the issues within his office and on the Hill, but in his personal life, he's a great example. He is raising his family, all of his boys, in the Greek church. He's an archon. He's active in the community. He grew up in a district with lots of Greek Americans, and his dad was the representative before, so this runs really deep in his blood, and he's very passionate about what he does.
Yeah. Well, I second everything. People can't see us, but I'm just pointing. Yeah, that's right.
And we had a chance to meet with Elizabeth and Gus when they were in Chicago, our Leadership 2030 group. And
Congressman Bilirakis is always wanting to know what he can do to help the next generation of leaders.
Exactly.
And it's really important, all the championing of the causes and, just so people realize, I think the success of our advocacy agenda comes from people understanding that it's not some narrow Greek issue. It's about values that matter to a lot of issues. And I think Gus Bilirakis is a great example of that because, yes, he chairs the Hellenic Caucus, but he chairs a regional caucus too, the Hellenic Israel Caucus. He's a vice chair of the Armenian Caucus, right, which helps us remember that the genocide that the Armenians suffered is not something that just Armenians suffered. We suffered it too. The Assyrians suffered it. And if we put value on, preventing genocide, and frankly, unfortunately, I don't think the world has done enough, and that's why we have more genocides of Christians by ISIS and the rest. He's been the chair of very active member of the Religious Freedom Caucus. He's a great advocate of human rights. So, bravo to Gus for making our issues be about values and not just ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And we're really happy to have him back. Do I get I second that?
Yeah, you can be a summer intern too now.
Nice. Moving from the House to the Senate, I want to ask, Andy, who do we have there that's comparable to Bilirakis' status in the House? Because I know we were watching a couple of races, but there's one that really stands out, and I want to let you talk about it because you got to travel as well.
The Senate race, and fortunately it ended up not being close at all, but it was close for a while, was the Senate race that was of greatest consequence to us as a community and for our issues was that of Bob Menendez. And the senior senator from New Jersey, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the former Senate Foreign Relations chairman when the Democrats had the majority. Well, we issued an endorsement for Bob Menendez. And in that endorsement, I said that Bob Menendez is the greatest Phil Helene the U.S. Senate has ever seen. We stick by that. The record shows it. There are very few people in the history of the United States Congress can say that they have an A-plus record on Hellenic issues. Bob Menendez is consistently at the top of that list. I also went on Greek radio a couple days before the election and said, we all grew up learning about Phil Helene's Lord Byron is mm-hmm. one that comes to mind
automatically.
And I'll tell you, when there were times, and we take for granted where the Greek-U.S. relationship is now. You know, we have a strategic dialogue about to be kicked off in December. The foreign minister of Cyprus was just here this week, mm-hmm. and the U.S. signed a memorandum of intent, met with Secretary Pompeo, with NSC, National Security Advisor John Bolton. That bilateral relationship between Cyprus and the U.S., between Greece and the U.S., is better than it's ever been in any of our lifetimes. And it becomes easy to believe that it was always like that, and it wasn't always like that. Right. And it wasn't too long ago, and 2004 specifically, where the Bush administration unilaterally recognized Skopje. The Bush administration wanted to punish Cyprus and even the Greek-American community for Cyprus voting no to the Annan plan. The ecumenical patriarch was getting nowhere. The Bush administration was pushing to get Skopje into NATO, even without an agreement with Greece. And we didn't have a lot of friends, but we had Bob Menendez. And the fact that, the Senate would not back President Bush's play, that was because of Bob Menendez. The fact that he couldn't send the ambassador he wanted to Skopje right away, that was because of Bob Menendez. The fact that they couldn't execute creeping recognition of the occupied North, that was because of Bob Menendez. And I remember in 2006 when Senator Paul Sarbanes retired, the community was despondent. It was like, what are we going to do? He was our greatest champion of all time. And Senator Sarbanes came to a conference and he told the community in 2006, the most important thing you guys can do is reelect Bob Menendez, United States Senator. That was true in 2006. It was true in 2018. And we got him reelected.
Give us the backstory, if you can, because it's easy to assume that somebody like Gus Bilirakis or Paul Sarbanes is going to be a champion for the community. But, how does someone, a Cuban-American from New Jersey, get that distinction as the greatest Philhellene?
This goes a little bit, and you're right, it's an easy to assume, but we should never assume that. And this is what makes both, the leadership of someone like Gus Bilirakis and John Sarbanes and his father before that, Paul Sarbanes, Bilirakis, his father, Mike Bilirakis, they realize that what our issues are values. Right. When we're pro, our issues are about human rights, the rule of law, democracy. Right. If you care about those things, we're into right. So Vanessa's in law school right now. She probably learned this in civil procedure. But there's a saying that says when you have the law on your side, you argue the law. And when you have the facts on your side, you argue the facts. And if you have neither the law nor the facts on your side, you bang your hand on the defense table until you listen. Well, we have the law on our side. We have international law. And we have the facts on our side. And people are not listening to us because probably we're not banging our hands on the table loud enough, or we're not prioritizing and making friends and being loyal to friends like Bob Menendez, like Ted Deutch. And to directly answer your question, Bob Menendez became friends with a Greek Cypriot constituent. He heard his story. He recognized that pain of a lost homeland, because he felt it in Cuba. He recognized that this was an issue of human rights and rule of law, just like his main issue, Cuba. And because he's obviously very interested in foreign affairs, he's not only our champion, he is the top champion of the pro-Israel community. They went all out to get him elected. He's the top champion of the Armenian National Committee. They went all out. Eastern European communities, because of his strident stance against Russia, right? He's one of the very few senators that Vladimir Putin has personally sanctioned Bob Menendez, so that's a great point of pride. The Iranians don't like him. When you look at who doesn't like Bob Menendez, it's Putin, Erdogan, the Ayatollahs. I think that's a great badge of pride. But he really feels not only does he know our issue, he feels it. He's very sincere, and he has a 20-plus year record. Mm-hmm.
So where do we go from here now? We're looking ahead. It's the new Congress is in. We've still got the issues related to the F-35s, the end of the Cyprus arms embargo, and a number of other developments that, you know, we may not foresee yet. The FIRM name issue, for example, is being ratified. What is Halleck looking at when it comes to the new Congress?
Well, some of these priorities you talk about, we still have a couple months or a month and a half left in this Congress. So the F-35s are still a matter in this Congress. Of course, we have the report that, you know, the prescriptions or the prohibitions we put in the National Defense Authority Authorization Act, that they're prohibited until a report comes out. That report is due soon. The report about the Cyprus arms embargo that we got into the same act, that is due soon. We're probably going to have some type of advancement of further legislation of the F-35 that was led by Senator Chris Van Hollen and Senator Lindsey Graham. What's going to be more interesting in there rather than the elections is what, if any, I wouldn't say fallout, but adjustment to approach may come to that issue because of the release of Pastor Brunson. Mm-hmm. But we know that Senator Van Hollen is pushing really hard to have those F-35s blocked, especially in the case of the S-400s. And then after that, we got to see who gets certain positions. We need to know who the ranking Republicans are going to be in key committees, right? Like we lost, like you said, the Republican chair is gone of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The Republican chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, who is Bob Corker, is gone.
Also retired.
The Republican head of the House Middle East North Africa subcommittee, which is very active in the Eastern Mediterranean, is gone. It looks like the Republican chair, Dana Rohrabacher, of the European Affairs Committee is gone. So we may have to build a whole new set of relationships because these are people who we had been working with.
I want to shift our focus away from the national limelight and look more at some local races that we had followed. And I know there was a couple of people from our own community that were running in New York, and in California specifically. Eleni Kounalakis had her big win and is the new lieutenant governor of California. Vanessa, tell us a little bit about what that means for us and for you specifically too.
So for me specifically, it's always great to have another Greek American in the political field, but it's also even more inspiring to see a woman do that job. So the lieutenant governor-elect was the first female Greek American to serve as an ambassador, and she's the first Greek American female to hold a statewide position in California. That's especially important because we're seeing a lot of key players out in California right now, so it'll be great to see how she works with them to advocate for our issues. Back to being inspired by women getting elected across the country. This was a record year for women. There's over 100 women who are going to take over in the new Congress, so that'll be really inspiring to see how that plays out.
You know, and like Vanessa said before about Congresswoman Bilirakis, it's Eleni is not even though she's lieutenant governor, I'm still going to keep calling her Excellency, because the ambassador.
Madam Ambassador.
Madam Ambassador. Madam Ambassador, lieutenant governor. She's not conveniently Greek around election time. This is someone who is truly from our community. She ran a campaign that makes us all proud to have the lieutenant governor statewide in a state that I think if it were a country where it was the fifth largest economy in the world, is pretty special. She gives back. Her and her family have always given back to the community, and she has now a new avenue for leadership. I'm really excited to see. Like Vanessa, I'm very excited to see what she does with it. But we also, what great diversity we have in our national leadership ranks, right? You know, there's Eleni Kourlakis, there's Dina Titus, right? Who's who's fast becoming more senior with all the turnover in Congress. Yeah. You know, she's definitely in the top half of Congress now. You know, we have Aravella Simotas in the New York State Assembly, another very close friend. So watching Greek American females becoming a bigger part of our public presence, our public face to the world, is really special, because it was, you know, it was more rare now to see them in thought leadership. Elizabeth Prodromou, who was in the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Elizabeth Economy at the Council on Foreign Relations, who is, you know, one of the world's experts on China. It is really, it bodes well for our community that we're getting that type of leadership in the national at the national level.
And these midterms, I was reading, we've seen almost record numbers of youth showing up to vote, but not only to vote, to run.
Yeah.
And from you know, a number of races here in Illinois, for example, where young people ran and won, to New York State Senate, where one of our own ran, Andrew Bernard, two of our own. Yeah,
two of our own. And actually, so the same diversity we're getting with Greek American women running, getting the next generation of Greek American leaders in there. I mean, here in Illinois, we had kind of great experience with it, because we've elected, you know, young Greek Americans before. I mean, Alexis Janoulias was 29 when we elected him treasurer of the state of Illinois. Mariana Spiropoulos was quite young when she became president of the Water Reclamation District. New York, though, we've had a good run of things. We have several young Greek Americans in office, and so the two guys we just got elected, and they swung control of the New York State Senate back to the Democrats, where Andrew Gunardis, who was one of the very first members of HALC, and he ran a race against a longtime Republican. I think it was one of the last races in the New York State Senate to be called. He won.
And it flipped one of the last remaining districts in New York City.
In New York City. He ran a great race. You know, we followed him quite closely. I'm not sure anybody.
Ben Stiller followed him quite closely, too.
Ben Stiller. You look online. Ben Stiller campaigned with
Blue Steel for the Blue Wave, right?
I was kind of hoping he was going to do the dodgeball character more than the Blue Steel. The Zoolander. Zoolander, maybe. But Andrew, you know, I can't say enough good things about Andrew. And Jim Skoufis from more upstate New York, you know, he was one of the early priorities for flipping a seat. He did it, got a lot of support. And we're going to have a great team in Albany. You know, Mike Generis, who's now in the majority, he's going to be one of the leaders in the majority. Aravella Simotas, who's going, you know, climbing the ladder on the House and the Assembly side. Two more senators in Andrew and James. And on the Republican side, still Nicole Mavritakis.
Yeah. So it's exciting times for not only HALC, but for the Greek community all across the country. And the newest crop of leaders, I think, the Leadership 2030 crew that Vanessa's a part of as well. Maybe we'll see a couple candidates emerge from that group.
Well, but beyond the candidacy and the exciting times, we really got to emphasize it. There was a big change. There are a lot of new members of Congress. A lot of new members of Congress. This is where you can make a difference. A lot of these members do not know our issues. People, you know, we're going to be organizing everyone to try to do an early reach out, especially to the new members of Congress. Most of these new members of Congress were coming from suburbs, right? And that's where most of the Greek population, Greek American populations, are in suburbs. Vanessa's hometown, Kansas City, has new members of Congress. There are two districts here in Illinois with heavy Greek American populations. new members of Congress. Miami has two new members of Congress. We could go city by city and find where, you know, where Greek Americans are concentrated, and you can find a lot of new members of Congress. It is important that we get to every single one of them. This is an important year. We talked about it. The strategic dialogue being kicked off in Greece, the F-35 legislation, the U.S.-Cyprus security relationship going on, the Macedonian issue, the Patriarchate, that seems to be sometimes falling off the news, but we've had...
Or just, for some people, a boring religious issue.
Yeah, but we've had plenty of guests here. The Patriarch, on this podcast, the Patriarch is being squeezed between the Russians and the Turks. Mm-hmm. We need Democrats and Republicans alike, we need to reach out to the evangelical community and their champions in the Congress to realize that this is a priority issue. Fortunately, our greatest champions, we lost friends, but our greatest champions are returning. We should never take those for granted. You know, I think the next election is going to be one full of potential for change, but let's build on the number of champions we have and never go backwards.
Second that for sure. Get a third in it or no?
I'll third it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining. That wraps up our episode here. Make sure to follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We're on all the platforms now. And that way you'll get your update automatically when the new episode gets uploaded. So thanks for listening again. That's it.